Well, that's certainly a good song to be looking forward to this month. Redeeming grace, what a blessing. The first title that I gave for this evening's meditation is Reflections from 2 Corinthians 12. I invite you to turn there. We will just be lifting out a few things from there. We have gathered this evening to worship in what we call a preparatory service. We've chosen to set aside an evening in which we give a thoughtful expression regarding our walk with the Lord and how we're relating to each other here in the body of Christ. And I think it's appropriate on an evening like this to think about the body of Christ, serving with Christ as the head, the body of brotherhood of believers, and how we should function harmoniously, even as the human body is designed to function. And I enjoy thinking about the complexities of the human body and the amazing details of God's design and how things can be so beautifully demonstrated when we work together as a church and as a body of believers. But the reality is that probably as we work together, that sometimes our interactions may more nearly resemble that of the porcupine. And we end up pricking each other. It's probably not that we want to, but it happens. And I'm not going to suggest that we're just a large bunch of porcupines here. But I do recognize that sometimes we tend to prick each other in tender places. We push each other's hot buttons and things just don't quite go the way we wish they would. Realize that there is a wide range of giftings and temperaments, abilities, personalities, and also a wide range of how we respond to conflict. And perhaps a bit more on that later. Frequently, it seems that when we run aground in our relationships, it's often in our closest relationships. And that might be among the reasons why Scripture is so clear in how we should interact within our families. And I'm not sure why our hot buttons get pushed so easily by the ones we love, those closest to us, but we know it happens. And I guess as usual, I have more questions than answers. But I've chosen for the text this evening verse 9 out of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I will also say at the onset here that my thinking has been stimulated by a book entitled Leading with a Limp by Dan B. Allender. And the author takes the position that when leaders lead with a limp, when they are willing to be open about their fears, their weaknesses, their inadequacies, that the Lord can be given greater room in which to work, so that the leader is functioning out of the deeper resources of God's strength. And I think the Apostle Paul was a very good example of a leader that was open about the failures of his past life. He called himself the chiefest of sinners. When he wrote to Timothy, he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners, then should we be afraid to be open about ourselves with one another? In the first six verses here, Paul gives his credentials, and he talks about a wonderful experience that he had. It was just almost out of this world, we could say. He was caught up into paradise, and it didn't hardly seem appropriate to talk about it, and it had happened 14 years before. But the Lord didn't want him to glory in that, and so he arranged for him to have a problem that would keep him from seeking excess glory in his supernatural experiences of being close to God. You see, the problem was that he was given this thorn in the flesh. And we don't know exactly what this thorn was. You see, perhaps if he had been more explicit, then we could say, okay, this thorn in the flesh occurs to this kind of situation. But instead, it can now, since we don't know that, it can perhaps apply to a variety of situations. And so let's read several verses here, beginning at verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So the question comes, what is it that hinders the Lord's work in our lives? Is it possible that that sometimes we put so much energy into looking good and trying to be so careful that people think well of us that we miss God's formula for spiritual growth? See, the formula is very simple. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The formula is very simple. And in James 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God wants us to be open with each other, willing to confess our faults so that we can pray for each other and find healing. And I recognize that the thorn in the flesh that Paul was experiencing here may have been something perhaps primarily physical, but we recognize that it was frustrating to him because God did not answer his prayer to be relieved of that thorn. And so he wasn't able to accomplish or receive from God what he wanted. But God gave him something better, and that was the ability to draw on God's strength for grace. And and as we look at drawing on God's strength out of our weakness, even for our failures, I believe that it's not stretching the application too far for verse 9. We see Paul's concern in the balance of this chapter. He goes on in verses 11 through 19 to just to say how that he has tried to do what he could for them. He has he didn't want to burden them, and he even sent Titus and doing these things for their edification, but the overriding concern, I think, comes in the last two verses of this passage. Paul was very concerned that when he comes back to visit the church at Corinth, that he might find that there was sin and lack of repentance in the church. In verse 20 it says, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults." perhaps it'd be clear in the ESV. The relationship kinds of difficulties are, I think, the category that he's addressing here. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I think these are the kind of relationship difficulties that are the porcupine style of pricklies that happen. But there may also be the kind of problem that we may face that may be closer to that of the turtle. We may want to just hide and find refuge, just not be as combative, just let me be and everybody will be okay. So the turtle's approach isn't the right one either. And so at one point here, I thought of a subtitle that could be Porcupines, Turtles, and Sheep. We need to be willing to deal with our own issues. I'm thinking right now of a story that I heard just recently from someone from another Beachy congregation in another state. And in this church, there was a serious breakdown in communication. There was a serious division in the leadership. The church was divided. They had a very difficult time in trying to move forward. And so one of the lay brothers took a course in conflict resolution, and they had some teaching in the church then as it relates to conflict resolution. And he said that one of the things that was helpful for them to do as a congregation was to think about how that within the group, how they respond differently to conflict. You see, on one end of the spectrum, one person will see conflict and the dialogue, the interaction that happens from that as an opportunity for change and growth. And others will see conflict as being something that you just want to avoid at all costs. Conflict is bad, and so the further you can keep away from conflict, the better. And so he asked people, okay, now think about how where you fit in this category. And he suggested that those who see conflict as opportunity should come up to the front of everyone move out in the center aisle, and those who see conflict as opportunity move right up front here to the pulpit. And those who see conflict as something to be avoided, be at the back end of the aisle, at the back of the sanctuary. And then if you're not either of these far poles, then you figure out where about in the middle or where else you are. And everyone in the congregation arranged themselves as they saw that. And of course, in one case, the husband was up here just a few feet from the front, and the wife was back in the foyer. And it just shows again how differently we may respond to these kinds of conflicts. But it was helpful for them to think about how that is different. And of course, there is quite a bit that we could talk about that if time or space would permit. But I'll make the point that we are wired differently, and it's good for us to think about how that is. But we realize that the different way in which we operate may have to do too with some of the porcupine pricks that we may give or receive. It just seems to me that if we follow the James 5:16 formula, if we are willing to confess our faults, if we are willing to pray for each other, then we can find the healing that God wants for us. And we also note that in the last verse of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul was not only concerned about the relationship difficulties within the church, he was very concerned too about sexual sin. Verse 21 in the ESV says, I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, the sexual immorality and sensuality that they have practiced. And I believe that for this, God's grace is sufficient for us. I believe that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, so that the power of Christ does rest upon us. Are we willing to be open and honest with each other? And I recognize that what I've been saying here is within the context of this council meeting. But I believe that being open and honest within our closest relationships is equally, if not more important. I have found that confessing a wrong that I've done to my wife has been harder than has been the hardest confessions that I've ever made. And I believe that sometimes, we're not looking on, what I'm saying is we're not looking only at the kind of things that we may want to say here are necessary to say to the whole group, but also things that are in our sphere of influence, and the people that we have hurt are the ones that we need to be willing to humble ourselves before. We need to humble ourselves before God and before others. See, Jesus said that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And I think that's what we want to do. We want to be as sheep who will follow our shepherd because we know his voice. And then if we do that, then we can also be humble before others. And I believe that God's grace can be sufficient to help us in our weakness. Whether our actions are as the porcupine, the turtle, or sheep, let us honor our God and be open before him. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us with an absolutely incomprehensible love. Thank you for your gift of grace that is sufficient to meet us at our point of need. Thank you for giving us clear direction in your word as to how we should follow you. And so help us then to hear your gentle voice through the wooing of your spirit and truly following your bidding. Help us to be willing to follow you, whether it be now, tomorrow, the next day, next week. Lord, we commit ourselves to your lordship and a desire to truly follow you, with a desire that the power of Christ may guide us and provide what only can be done through the power of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.